My Michelle Live. Sports Time Out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Yes, she is. Thank you very much, big voice guy. So glad that you could be with us today. This is what we call Sports Time Out, where we take on the sports stories of the week with our round table of fellas. Let me introduce you all the way around. We have at the bottom of my screen, at least, and yours, Joshua McMillan, our sports authority and Wookiee of the Year.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
Yes, we do. And then we have with us Brent R. Baker. He is an author of a great book we'll talk about a little bit later. He's a sports writer. He's a sports reporter guy. He's a sports photographer. He takes great pictures of the moon as well, Brent R. Baker.
Yeah. Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
We have with us Rich Hallstrom. He's our encyclopedia of all things sports, author of Thunder Sports Network.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The encyclopedia.
And the man himself. He's the author of Athlete in the Game of Life, Matt.
He's the man. He's the man.
He's the man. He's the man. And so me, well, I'm just me. I don't have a song. I have a theme song.
We need to get you to write a book.
Right. That seems to be the only non-common denominator right there.
Oh. That's just about the only way you're going to get on this show now.
I like it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to take on sports. That's right. I wanted to start, if you guys don't mind, with soccer. Major League Soccer, let's just take it on. I'm from Seattle, so it's no surprise that I'm jazzed because the Seattle Sounders are resting comfortably at the tippy top of the Supporters Shield, and that's pretty exciting to me. But a bigger story nationally on that, guys, is that at the beginning of the year, it was all about LA, Toronto, Portland. These guys are the ones to watch. They are the powerhouses. LA and Toronto are lingering at the bottom. Portland is like 10th, midway. So it's kind of a testament to nobody knows, and maybe we bring in our own biases. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think, Michelle, if I'm just going to say this, and maybe Matt will agree with me on this, Brian Schmetzer doesn't get enough credit as the Sounders head coach,
and right?
he doesn't get enough credit for the consistent program that they have built both on and off the pitch and in the stands. The Sounders are one of the best run pro franchises in the world. Simply
put. Okay, so that's a good point. And I also want to add to this, Matt. You know, you're down there in NOLA. You're out of, you know, most of us are kind of cornered up here in the greater Seattle area. And we can feel like maybe the Sounders don't get the creds they deserve. We felt that for a long time about the Seattle Seahawks, and they are a well-run program. Is that just a local idea, or do you think that that's got some legs?
I think the coaching overall has a huge piece of it. And I'm not going to deflect off what you're the Sounders subject, but if you look around, look at, for example, Chelsea, who's playing in the Champions League this Saturday, right? Frank Lampard, it's the same exact team. Frank Lampard, look what he did. Thomas Tuchel comes in, steps in, and has taken the same team to another level. So I really believe it is the coach that can make a difference amongst the players, whatever it is. Maybe just an intangible. Maybe it's stuff they can't say outside the locker room. But, Rich, I agree with you. The head coach makes a massive difference.
And it's not like the Sounders were bad under Ziggy Schmidt. They were solid. But, man, when Brian Schmetzer took over, they've truly raised it to another level. You know, winning a couple of MLS Cups. You know, I thought they were going to struggle starting this year. You know, with Jordan Morris being out injured and some other personnel changes. And now you've been dealing with, you know, Nico Ladero's been out with an injury, Stefan Fry's out, and they're still unbeaten. And for a team that often starts slow, it's actually pretty remarkable. And they've beaten these teams that everybody was talking about before the season started.
Well, I think the other thing, Matt, and you can comment on this again, is that not only has Brian Smetzer done a great job, but their Sounders Academy program is starting to have younger players develop through the system. And we are actually seeing those guys come up on the pitch, Michelle. I think that really also has a big deal to do with it. And
hey,
because
guys,
if you can't develop your own players, you're not going to sustain success through your own program. And that's what the Sounders have done.
And it's also taking a big piece of the community and investing in it. And I think that's great. Another soccer story is a kind of a big one. And it, you know, the U.S. men's national team defender DeAndre Yedlin joined the ownership group of the San Diego Loyal. The club announced this on Thursday. So this is a, you know, big breaking story that Yedlin, though, this is big, told ESPN he was drawn to the Loyal after seeing the second division club take a stand against some of the racist and anti-gay language that was directed towards a couple of its players in games last year. So what happened back then, follow me on this, the Loyal had asked the league forfeit a draw with the LA Galaxy after learning that Elijah Martin, one of the players, was targeted with a racial slur. An anti-gay slur was directed at Colin Martin, who is openly gay. So it's the trash talk probably that's going out on the field. And they, you know, Elijah Martin during the match walked off the field against the Phoenix Rising in protesting of it. It was, I guess what the point is that people are taking a stand against bad behavior, but that kind of trash talk happens on the field. So what, my question to you is beyond the story to what do we walk off the field for? What do we take a stand against? And how squeaky clean do we want? Should we demand the playing field to be?
Anything that doesn't belong on the playing field doesn't belong on the playing field, period.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with you, Rich. I'm going to agree with you on that. You know, trash talking is one thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. You suck. Mm-hmm. Your mama stinks, you know, whatever it be like that.
Now,
if it is what it is. But if you take it to another level, you know, again, skin color, sexual orientation, things like that, that doesn't belong on the field. That's got nothing to do with your performance in your athletic skill. I agree, Rich.
Yeah, so was this an on-field incident, or was this something from the stands?
It seemed to be something on the stand. So Elijah Martin was targeted with a racial slur. And walked
from
off
the stands or from
no,
the stands
I'm sorry, from,
or on
from
the field.
It looked like it was on the field from what I understand. Now someone can correct
So it was
me on
a
this.
Opposing player on the field.
Yeah, I see. If it comes from the stands, you know, you don't walk off the field. If it comes from the field, then you're like, wait a minute, this shouldn't be tolerated. And I think it was pretty bold, and I think it was pretty brave to say, you know, racial slur, not okay. But he walked off the field after a gay slur was directed at Colin Martin. And, you know, I think it's pretty good to say we're going to take a higher stand. I want sports to be something that kids can look at and say, this is the way things should be. I want to go into a sports stadium and see a higher level of of integrity. That's something fabulous. We all get behind that. We also see a lot of stories where you see sexual indiscretion and abuse and assault and cheating, and you go, oh, boo bad, you know, boo bad, good good. You know, those lines shouldn't be crossed, Josh.
And I don't think it's ridiculous to ask a higher level of integrity from people that are making millions of dollars to play a game.
Okay. No. Okay.
I mean,
let me bring some, unless someone else wants to comment, let me bring something else into the conversation.
I mean, just think of it like this. Well, though. I mean, you know, a lot of us are in other careers and the like, and are we expected to have any less of a decorum or any less like level of integrity in our jobs?
No.
And how many of us make as much as the sports players that we're talking about? You know, how many of us are making hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of our careers, you know, and expected to have a level of integrity? And we're not in the spotlight. We're not someone that kids, you know, buy cards for, or buy jerseys for, or, you know, idolize. You know, I mean, maybe we are into some kids, but not on the scale that these players are. So
you guys want a Michelle jersey?
The other point that I think that you're hinting at, Josh, and I want to get at this week because we are on this subject, is a lot of those people that are making hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars are telling other people how to live.
Oh gosh, it's so true. It's so true.
Let's get to the heart of the matter, LaFlop James. And so on and so forth.
Let me throw this into it. Speaking of people making millions of dollars and thinking that they should be held to a different standard, the WTA Talking Tennis said that they're going to welcome some dialogue with Naomi Osaka.
Oh, after let's get into this.
Skipping
Michelle.
A news conference at the French Open. Get this, world number two Naomi Osaka made this decision to boycott a news conference at this year's French Open because Osaka said,
go ahead, Michelle.
Let me finish and then you can correct me and do all of your rich stuff, but give me a second here. Osaka said the nature of questions can impact players' mental well-being. You might ask me something that makes me uncomfortable, and that's not okay because I gotta play tennis, and that's what I'm here to do. So, you know, hello, Snowflake. Hello, Prima Donna. That's just my opinion. I'm opening it up. Rich, rock and roll with it.
Well, let's say this. First of all, mental health is nothing to joke at.
Wait a minute, mental health issues, yeah, but my mental well-being, and I can't actually talk to people, and someone's going to ask me a hard question and it's going to bug me. What? Come on.
I think we call that playing the mental health card.
Okay, time out here. Now what we need to know here is that she has not boycotted a press event yet. She has said that I'm not going to participate in post-match news conferences or any news media at all, because I believe that sometimes people in the news media, this is according to her, ask us repetitive questions and also ask us negative questions and focus on the negative. And she doesn't really want to let anybody get into her
poor space freaking baby.
Her space that is negative. Now I'm just telling you her position.
Okay, now, poor freaking baby.
Now,
I'm sorry.
That's
part of being in professional sports. It comes with it. There is an obligation. People are paying money to you. People want to know more about you. You're a brand. You know, you're not Marshawn Lynch. I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, I don't want anybody to get the appearance that I'm sticking up for Naomi Osaka because I'm not. Because press conferences pre and post match or pre and post game are part of the job. And Ashley Barty said that in response to Naomi Osaka's position. But I think I would take Naomi Osaka more seriously about this if she hadn't made this announcement on Instagram. This is a, it is a perfect, that is a, that is not where you make professional announcements, is on Instagram. Now, Naomi is currently worth $55.2 million. If she has mental health issues related to doing the press conferences or doing other things related to her job as a professional tennis player, then she needs to get help for those. And other professional athletes and professional tennis players or whatever the sport may be need to get help for that.
Okay, let me speak to that.
And that is your your responsibility to do
I want to add this because this is part of the news story as well. If you look at if you just Google the story, that the WTA has a team of people that's there for support, for mental support and the anguish, and they have counselors, and they've got this in place. They really do. There is a support system. I just want you to know, I don't have a support system for doing
this. We're here for you.
Yeah, other than you guys, you know. I don't know how professional you are, but it works for me, right?
We're not even semi-professional.
Yeah.
I
think Lucy at the stand in the Peanuts cartoons makes more money than we do as a psychiatrist.
I got your nickel right here.
There's been
baby.
Other tennis players that have chimed in on this. I mean, especially Rafael Nadal was a big one that he said, I understand her, but for me, without the press, without the people who are writing the news and achievements that we are having around the world, probably we will not be the athletes we are today. And he's won 20 majors throughout career. And he makes a great point. Like we're not making the money we're making without talking to the press, you know, like this is part of the job. And then one of her competitors actually said, we won't have the recognition that we have around the world. We will not be that popular without it. And then Ashley Barty
from Australia.
Yeah. She said, we know what we sign up for as professional tennis players. I can't really comment on what Naomi is feeling or her decisions she makes. At times, press conferences are hard, of course, but it's also not something that bothers me. I've never had problems answering questions. It's not something that has ever fazed me too much, and it certainly doesn't keep me up at night. Okay. What I say or hear when you guys ask me. And some good points there is that this is part of the job. You know, it's like, don't go into a sales job expecting not having to talk to people or sell people something.
There you go.
If you want to be a professional athlete, there are some, like, if you want to be a professional athlete and you don't want to talk to people, go play on the offensive line of a team, you know, in the NFL. And then no one cares about talking to you. As long as you're doing your job, no one cares. You know, that's one of the few positions. But
I'm going to use an example, and then I want to get more of your thoughts, guys. Just this week, I was at the NASA Space Center. Boy, did I enjoy seeing the achievements that we could do to actually travel in space, to walk on the moon, the design, the mental capacity, the mathematics that boggles the mind, all of that. It's great. And I got to stand and even touch the podium that JFK stood behind when he gave a speech that said, about going to the moon. We're not doing this because it's easy. We're doing it because it's hard. Have we lost in America the ability or the desire to push through something hard? We want it handed to us easy. We want the participation medal. We want to be able to get all the glory, but we don't want to do what's hard to get there. When we talk about sports and an analogy for life, we forget that it's the blood, sweat, tears. It's the hard things. It's the losses. It's the things that make us uncomfortable. And we freaking overcome that makes us wonderful. And as we go into Memorial Day weekend, here's my shirt, raise a glass to freedom because of the freedom here in the U.S., because of the veterans who did the hard thing. We have this freedom and this liberty to shoot for something great, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Boom. I'm open.
We've lost our competitive edge is what I will say, how I will sum up everything that you said, Michelle. I think we have lost the edge to compete unless the pathway is as easy as possible in some circumstances. Matt?
Yes, I completely agree with you. She lost complete credibility when she posted this on Instagram. There's no credibility from Instagram whatsoever. So if you do have mental illness, well, get taken care of.
Josh, 20s, come on.
I agree with you, Josh. You know, this is part of your job. And if you don't want to answer the question, just like any other head coach after in the NFL,
say no comment.
Just say no comment or next, please. Yeah. Next, please. I'm not going to address that. Next, please.
I find it interesting because for you to get through a high level tennis match, you know, 2-3 hours out there, one-on-one in front of how many thousands of people and maybe a TV audience, you have to have developed some level of mental toughness. And so to not be able to face a press conference, when you're able to do that, there's either like a serious issue that she needs to address or some disingenuousness there, because you can't be that mentally tough in one situation and be ready to fold like a deck of cards, you know, in the face of, I mean, I'm not going to disagree that with her assessment of some of the questions they get asked, that's, you know, some of the stuff that they are asked is stupid, but let's deal with it out front instead of saying, well, I'm just going to walk away and claim it's hard.
Well, I'll add into that because I've been into a number of press conferences and done back and forth, Patrick Ewing, Michael Jordan, all kinds of people. Stupid reporters ask stupid questions. Only talk to the smart reporters and you're going to be fine. Number two, I think that Naomi Osaka, and I've evaluated some of her press conferences and some of the things that she's said and what she's trying to do and how she's trying to portray herself, I think she's one of the worst interviews in sports. So I wouldn't waste my time. I think it has, that also has something to do.
You know, if you're making millions of dollars, then get an interview coach, get a PR coach. You got the cash, you know, like.
Guys, come on. We don't listen to sports figures because we think they're eloquent. Okay.
No,
we don't listen to sports figures because we think that they're going to have something. Oh, just life changing to say, come on.
My responsibility as an interviewer is to ask intelligent and awesome questions. That's my job. And that's the way I've always looked at my job.
Okay.
Yeah, she should try Super Bowl. She should try Super Bowl week. If she wants to ask stupid questions.
Here's the other thing, you know, like she wants to talk about that. Yes, she's on a world stage, but think about like guys in the Super Bowl. They'll lose the Super Bowl and then 10 minutes later have to sit down for an interview and ask a bunch of questions when they just had one of the most crushing defeats of their career. Oh, you know, to make
except
it to
Cam
the
Newton.
Super Bowl and lose.
Well, except for Cam Newton. Right.
Cam Newton huge heat for that.
Cam Newton and Naomi will be hanging out sometime soon.
They will be answering questions at the library if you want to go over there and have a Q&A with them.
Josh, why were we okay with Marshawn Lynch, you know, just saying, I'm just here so I don't get fired? Why were we okay with that?
Because Marshawn Lynch is a whole package. He is a unique unicorn of a human being. That man is a legend, a living legend.
We are okay with Marshawn Lynch, Josh, and you can you back me up on this and tell me if I'm right, because Marshawn Lynch was actually telling you what he thought, and you knew that was actually what he thought.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why we're okay with Marshawn Lynch.
He didn't post on Instagram that he wasn't going to answer questions.
No. You're getting every time you see or hear Marshawn Lynch, you are getting 100% authentic Marshawn Lynch. There is no filter. There is no public persona. There is Marshawn Lynch and there's Marshawn Lynch. And
he's a great businessman too.
He
Let's
really
not
is.
Forget
he's
about
a
that.
Smart guy. And he was just there so he doesn't get fined. You know, like he's a legend. Okay. And he didn't say like it's because of my mental health. It's like I'm just really sad today. He's like,
you're gonna
ask
me hard questions. So how my feelings. Okay.
Was that eight years ago now that he said that? And we're still talking about it. And I bet you we're not talking about. I mean, I bet you're not talking about. We're not talking about Naomi Osaka's Instagram post 8 years from now.
We won't be talking about 8 days from now.
Right.
Guys, I want to move on to hockey. this is kind of an interesting little thing. I'm going to put you on the spot, Rich, on this one. It was kind of cool. Edmonton lost to Winnipeg, right? And it's hockey. It's a hockey game. They lose. But here's what's kind of interesting.
Overtime, 5-4.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But it's kind of cool because, you know, living here in the Northwest, Josh is going to talk baseball in a little bit. And it's kind of like Winnipeg has almost been like the Mariners of hockey. They haven't won a series since, well, it's been a while. And I'm going to put you on the spot and see if Encyclopedia Rich, if we can stump him today, right? Encyclopedia Rich. Here we go.
Encyclopedia Rich.
Winnipeg has not won a series since when? Do you know which year?
I believe it's 1998.
1987.
Whew.
And wow. You can look it up on that. But and when they were in Atlanta, it was 12 years, no playoff spot. So, you know, people who live in Seattle and follow the Mariners baseball team, you can relate. But here's something interesting. Speaking of the Seattle area, Ethan Bear has our local connection with Junior League, caused the goal that lost the game to Winnipeg. But that was kind of interesting. I thought we'd open it up to any other hockey talk.
Well, you got to like the Islanders beating the Capitals in the first round. Boston looks like a great team. This is why everybody loves the NHL. The Stanley Cup playoffs, the run to the cup, the whole thing. I mean, it's brutal. It's brutal. And these guys put it all out there on the ice. That's why I'm looking so much forward to the Kraken. We're going to possibly be in the midst of this next year with the way they've set up the expansion draft.
Yeah. This is getting exciting.
If I look at, if you want to see what we hope the Kraken become, you look at the team down in Vegas, which is this their third year? But, I mean, they hit the ground running, and they've got a game 7 tonight against Minnesota. So you can watch that game and think that could be us in a year
in the crack house, right. People.
It's your choice between the crack house and the loo. Yeah.
I know it. All right.
Release the Kraken.
Unless there's anything else in hockey, I have an idea of what Matt might be doing this weekend besides celebrating his birthday.
Oh.
Birthday to you.
Yeah. I was even going to comment a little bit on the old man from last weekend winning the tournament.
Question
is, golf
is he
sport?
Taking HGH or something, like do you guys think, like, he's
transforming his
body? Do you think he's getting, because it's not illegal in golf, they don't test for that kind of thing, that there's something going on, or is he just that much better than everyone still as the legend he's been?
Well,
all right, so here, if you don't mind, I'm gonna step up on my soapbox on this one.
Go for
it. Give me a second. So for years why did we like watching Phil on the final day? Right? Because his nickname, at least in my house and what I know, is the choker. Right? He goes out and he chokes on the final day because he just makes bad decisions. You know, the joke of his caddy is, well, you got about 215 here in the middle of fairway, or if you wanted to cut the driver, 337, you could do that. But let's just go for 215. No, I'll give him the driver. Like, no, Phil, that's not a good choice. And then, he puts it in the woods or puts it in the water. And if you look at him, he's been overweight, right? He's been overweight that whole time. And so you got to think that's going to literally weigh you down as you're making these decisions, and you're more fatigued and you don't make the right choices as you get into these pressure situations. So what did he do? He slimmed down. Yep. What did he not make? He did not make the bad choices and bad decisions like he used to. He learned how to handle the pressure. And I think that's a direct impact, because Michelle and I actually did an interview on this earlier in the week, of how physical activity and exercise helps your brain and your cognitive function. So I think slimming down like that has made him a better golfer, learn how to deal with the pressure, and then look what he goes out and does.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are also secretly liking the fact that Phil Mickelson became the oldest winner of a major, because our population is getting older. So,
of course,
I mean, that's why we have more of a connection with that as an ordinary everyday person.
A few years ago, Tom Watson took the British Open to the final round, Right? Tom Watson, who was way over 50 at that point in time, I forgot who he lost to, but he couldn't handle it. I think again, just age and fatigue and the pressure of that moment that he was in. But I firmly believe that with Phil lightening up a little bit, learning how to take care of his body, he was in better condition now to outlast these other guys, plus his experience. And look what he's done. I mean, now this week he's 10 strokes back, but you know, hey, what the hell? Why not? You know, you can't be win every single weekend. But I just
have to wonder, like, you know, for him to transform his body to that state, you know, this late in his career, that's a difficult task. And you know, maybe he did it totally unassisted, but you know, I don't think he was doing steroids or anything. But you know, I just wonder, because he's playing against guys that also are like have great talent. But you also think about Phil, and you think that he has been, you know, one of the best the game's ever seen. You know, he's probably up there with Tiger in terms of like, you know, the talent that we've seen in the sport for a long time. So maybe he just is that good that he's been able to do that. But I think it's worth the question.
I think it's all that Bobby, because Brooks Koepka's knee got bumped. Otherwise, Phil would.
Oh my gosh!
Oh yes. Talk about finding an excuse for your own mistakes.
And the whole rivalry between him and Bryson DeChambeau, that is like the reason I follow golf at all right now, because he is living.
They're trying to make like the NBA.
Yeah, Chambeau is living rent free in his head. He is in his head so well, hard.
I'm
here for it.
It's not only rent free. I think he's his landlord, man.
Oh, he might just actually own the place and rents it out. That could be. Hey, he's in there.
Makes golf interesting, right? You're right. Makes golf history are those rivalries to watch every week, right? It was Nicholas Watson. You had Tiger and Phil. Now you got these two guys that bomb the hell out of the ball every time they step up there. You know, they're hitting 335, 350-yard drives every time. And that's what makes people want to watch it, is those that little nitpicky stuff.
And the PGA hammered, and I do mean hammered, the NBA in ratings.
Right?
Last week. Think about that. The NBA that can't get out of its own way. Nothing but arrogance.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And I got to say this too, because I've been, you know, I do think that baseball can bring it to baseball just a little bit here. We'll get to it more later. But, you know, baseball, it can use a little bit more of like pumping up their personalities and highlighting their players and getting them out there a little bit more.
If they're not afraid of interviews. Yeah.
Well, here. Yeah.
But I've been. Like, we need baseball to be more interesting in the offseason. It needs to be more like the NBA. And you're like, no, absolutely not. The NBA is eating itself with its drama that makes it, you know, the whole offseason is like watching a soap opera. I don't watch sports so that I can watch daytime television. Like, I'm not, Days of Our Lives is not what I'm looking for from sports. Do I enjoy the occasional rivalry and the little chippiness? But NBA has gotten too far down this road. And it's like, you don't even care about the season anymore, or the playoffs, because you feel like they've written it in. You're like, all right, these are the teams that are going to be in these situations and they're going to get to this. And you can almost predict the whole season, the whole postseason.
Okay. You know, well, Josh, that goes right back to the point that, and I don't know if you guys talked about this last week, but the NBA is even talking about a mid-season tournament. That's their regular season is completely irrelevant in the sports landscape.
Yeah, I know,
and they don't even have. Well,
and like MVP, their MVP is really just who's the best player on a good team. It's not really about who's the best player in the league anymore. Who's the best player on the best team?
But guys, that's not just that.
I mean, I would say it has been. I mean, LeBron James was MVP when he was in Cleveland a couple of times, you know, and Cleveland team was awful and they couldn't make it through the playoffs when he was there. And he got MVP then because he was the best player in the league. I think at points it was like that. You know, if you go further back than that, I think that they had a better history of that. But now it's just like there's players that should have been considered for MVP. Totally not, because their team was not one of the top five in the league.
Yeah. And that's a frustration. But as I said, it's also politics. Come on. The politics. Yep. People are over. Everything's over politicized. And we are freaking sick of it. I don't care whose lives matter other than the lives that are on the basketball court until you're done. I just want to play the game. The things that are important to you are important. Don't let me negate your passion. Don't let me negate things that you want to change or the difference that you want to make. I'm happy for you. But right in that moment, can we all just come together, even if we disagree politically, even if we're voting differently, even if we look differently? I don't want to hear racial slurs, and I don't want to hear who you voted for or what you believe. I just want to watch the dang game. NBA is too politicized. And as you pointed out, Rich, golf has dwarfed in ratings the NBA. And so I think that answered someone's question at the beginning of this conversation. Is golf even a sport? Who asked that, by the way? Who said
Rich,
that?
I actually did that.
Rich did.
And here's why. Because unless Tiger is, and I can take a few weeks and dig out the statistics, unless somebody like Tiger is in the lead, Jordan Spieth, one of the players that people are familiar with, it is a personality driven sport, and they don't always do a good job of promoting their personalities, which is the same thing that baseball has a problem with. Mike Trout needs to do more commercials.
I agree with you, Rich.
Tatis Jr. down in San Diego needs to do more commercials. If we did not have the Seattle Mariners in town, now I want you guys to be honest. How many baseball games would you watch?
Oh, I'm a baseball junkie. So
yeah, I love baseball. If we didn't have the Mariners in town, there would be another team.
Let me answer you, Rich,
because as I live in New Orleans, as y'all know, we do not have a baseball team. We do not have a hockey team. Okay. So when you're talking hockey, yeah, is that on top of my mind, even though they're in the playoffs? The answer is no. Is baseball, I am a Dodger fan, but is truly baseball on the top of my mind? The answer is no. Hell, we even have an NBA basketball team, but are they doing that great? No, the Pelicans aren't exactly tearing up the league. So are they still on top of my mind? The answer is no. So you're right. You have to be relevant in your local market, I think, for people to pay attention. People here, what are they, baseball fans there? If they are, maybe Braves or Astros, but they're not really paying attention. And hockey is zilcho.
And it's you're asking a group of people who, you know, we're sports nuts. So
yeah,
you know,
I'm a big baseball fan. Person to get that question.
Yeah. I am too, Josh, and I pay attention all. But if you're, Rich's point, what is this? Are these conversations happening out there on average? If there's nothing in your local area to even draw that conversation, and no, they're not happening this month.
Well, yeah. I think with Josh and me though, you have to look at the fact that by the end of May, usually our local baseball team's irrelevant. So we have to really be in love with the game.
I've been a Mariners fan for a long time, and it does not matter.
Well, another big thing that Major League Baseball needs to address, and they've always talked about Jackie Robinson Day and other things, and talking about their diversity, 1% of Major League Baseball players, I think at the last time I looked at the statistics, are African American. So they are going backwards from the precedent and from the impact that Jackie Robinson had. And Brent, I know you said several times that baseball does a good job of celebrating its history. I would say that baseball does an occasional job at celebrating its history, but it does not connect its history to the present.
Well, so I think that the reason that that's not happening as much is that, like, you have a huge, huge portion of the league is Latino. Because that's huge there. It's in the culture there. It's big there. Here, you know, baseball is not as flashy as it used to be. It doesn't have the same swagger as when Junior was playing out there with his gold chain and his backwards cap. It doesn't have that same swagger that it used to. So a lot of these kids that could be baseball talents, think Kyler Murray, think Patrick Mahomes. Where do they go? They went and played football because
Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. There's there's lots of money to be made in football, and you can make, you can arguably make more money in baseball over the course of your career, but you can make big money in football, and you get the high profile and you get lots of ad revenue, you know, outside of just the money you make playing for your team. It's just, it's a different thing, you know.
The NFL is truly the king of the hill.
It's a truly a national sport. You know, people will watch Sunday night football regardless of who's on. Baseball has become much more of a regional sport where, you most people need to have some sort of investment in the actual teams that are on. They're not usually just going to watch the game because it's on. Football is become the game itself, and people will watch the players even if they're on opposing teams. And I don't know, you can't really like recapture that. But you can get better at helping people see who your stars are and celebrating them. And as Rich said, connecting the present with the past. You know, I always love it when I hear one of these young players and they find, you know, when they are aware not only of a record or whatever they're breaking, but, you know, somebody, say if somebody had a 50-game hitting streak, if the guy is talking about Joe DiMaggio, who had a 56-game streak that will probably stand forever, appreciating that history, to me, it means a lot more than some guys like, oh, yeah, Joe DiMaggio played 70 years ago. Yeah, I didn't even hear of him until.
Well, and, you know, I got to say, I think connecting history, I think that's one of my favorite things about baseball is that every time I pop on and listen to the radio broadcast or watch the game when I can, thanks Root Sports, please make it easier to watch those games.
Amen.
Every time I do, you hear the guys, you know, Rick Riz, Eric Goldstein, Dave Sim, they're always bringing up all the stories. Like I remember back in the day with Dave Niehaus, or, you know, like telling us all the stories of the history, and you get a history lesson about baseball every time you listen to a broadcast, every time.
And that's with every team. Every team's local hometown, you know, broadcast does that, and that's what keeps it interesting. I think that's what makes baseball a radio sport.
Right? Oh,
you
really
have to pay attention to it. It also makes it a friend sport. I'm going to a Mariners game tomorrow night with friends, and it's a friend event. You go, you sit in the stands, you have lots of time to talk. It kind of brings us back to center, and we need it. We need that. And as we are talking about baseball, Josh, why don't you give us a little baseball report? I think it's time.
Get out the right, Brennan! The mustard this time, grab
all! Oh, that's looking good.
Speaking of Niehaus, right?
Yeah, man. You know, I still get chills every time I hear that old-time religion call when he came back and got that homer when he pinch hit. Oh, man. That was – what a call. I mean, that was one of those things where, like, Niehaus really just, like, reached back. Like, might be the last time I get to call this for Junior. I'm going all out. And that was just such a great call. What a great – What all-time great Dave Niehaus in terms of calling for baseball.
And for those of you who are outside of baseball or outside of the Seattle area where some of us have our start and our hearts, Dave Niehaus is a longtime broadcaster. Everyone has their own local broadcaster. And as Matt was mentioning, they bring the stories, they bring the history, they connect the past with the present, and they do it really, really well. And for the folks up in the Seattle area, that's exactly what Dave Niehaus was. And so a little tribute to him. Josh?
Yeah. Well, and for the people outside of the Seattle market, you probably know who Macklemore is. And Macklemore does actually have a song that features the Dave Niehaus My Oh My, because he's a huge Mariners fan. He talks about how amazing it was growing up listening to Dave call those plays for the Mariners. So that'll bring you in. You might have heard that song, so you'd probably know who Macklemore is. I hear he's pretty big in a lot of markets. But I'm a pop some tags. So Mariners, they're having an interesting time of it right now. Since we last spoke, it's been a couple of weeks since I was on. We took last week off. There's been some things that have happened, certainly. You know, like we have Logan Gilbert up, Jared Kelnick up, which is exciting things. Now, Jared Kelnick mixed, a little mixed right now, but that's kind of expected for your start. He's had the one game where he showed us, I absolutely belong here. Homer and two doubles and a couple of real hustle doubles right out the box. And I loved what he said. Like, my dad always told me every hit's a double out the box. And he showed that hustle, which was awesome. Oh, Matt, I know you got a drop. Take care, Matt. So thank you for hanging with us here.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt, thank y'all.
And happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy your celebrations.
Oh, I will.
Have a shot for me. So yeah, but he has struggled at the plate since then, which is not surprising. But the Mariners are on a bit of a resurgence now after slipping, after dealing with a lot of injuries, a little bit of COVID here and there. They're on their way back. We are now above the Mendoza line. We are, I think, 202 as a team. We won a game against the Rangers yesterday.
Why does it Chris have Fletcher to be the Mendoza line? You know, I mean, I know the history. But
well, that's
on.
that's another Mariner history moment. Yes, I'll just put it that way.
It is.
Yeah. So we're above the Mendoza line.
You guys want to explain that, Rich? Do you want to explain the Mendoza line? It really is a thing.
Real quick, Josh, I don't mean to steal your thunder, but that's for former shortstop Mario Mendoza, who I believe as a Mariner struggled to hit 200, but he was a great guy and a great fielding shortstop. And that's where the term came from. And I want to say it was like about 19.
More in there, yeah.
Okay.
And now the team is hitting what good old Mario hit individually. To
be, the whole league's averaging about 230 right now.
Yes. That's fair. That's
so
fair.
Far down. So 200 is not that much league average, believe it or not. But. Hey, you know, we got guys coming back. Ty France struggled with injury. He seems to be back. He had a good game the other day. And, you know, Jared Kelnick, these are critical at bats from. They have him batting leadoff, and that's not because they think that he's going to be smacking the ball around all day getting on base. It's because they're most concerned with getting him as much at bats as possible. He needs to get acclimated to this league. And I think that this was the only place they could do this with him, is they were really looking to see how he takes failure, if he can take failure and adjust back to it, because he saw none of it in the minors. You know, they even the couple of games they played him in AAA, he was smacking the ball all over the place. So they needed to bring him up here. That just kind of inevitably had to happen because they knew he would face failure, and now he's had to, and now he's having to adjust, and this is a critical part of his development. Good he had the game that he knows he can do it after that one game. But home run, two doubles. He's had another home run since and had a couple of hits. So he knows he can do it. It's just getting that adjustment. And I think I'm glad that this is happening. And I think that this is kind of one of the signs that we're at the end of the rebuild. Jared Kelnick's here. Logan Gilbert's here. We have a couple of guys that are close. Taylor Trammell may be back up this year because he is hitting almost 500 in AAA right now. You can't deny that man a roster spot for much longer.
And I think the other thing, Josh, and you didn't really slide this in. I was hoping you would slide this in. Jared Kelenic sat down the other day and actually watched a few innings and watched a game. That might be the most pivotal move that Scott Servais has made this year, letting him sit down and actually watch a game instead of trying to get out there, try to put up the numbers, try to show that you're worthy of being up there. And mm-hmm. that break, that small break, is a major part of this three wins in the last four games, because we thought that the end was near. This was the end. The six game losing streak was the end, and then they rebounded. But you're right, Josh. I think this is good signs that the rebuild is actually a rebuild.
Yeah.
This time.
Yep. Yeah. And the next step, I mean, we have a lot of young guys that are kind of up right now. We're half AAA roster somehow right now. And we have guys like Nottingham and the like that are up, and Shane Waldron, not Shane Waldron. That's a new coach for the Seahawks, but another Waldron.
Donovan Walton.
Walton. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, but. Oops. I don't think a lot of those guys are we're looking at them as like potential starting pieces of the future, but certainly depth pieces, you know. And we have guys like Sam Haggerty still that we're looking at as utility. David Moore, I'm excited for when we get Shed Long back here soon. Marco Gonzalez is going to be back on the roster, because that's the other thing to remember here is, you know, half our starting pitching has been dealing with injury and not there. And so getting the team right again, I think we're going to see more winning and getting on track. You know, again, Ty France has been a huge part of the lineup early in the year. He was raking the ball, and then he was dealing with that wrist injury. They give him an IL stint, let him recover, and now he's back, and now he's hitting the ball well again. You know, it's just making sure you guys get rest. And it's really important this year. I'll say this over and over again. For the kids
in the
back,
that. There he comes back.
About,
I don't know
same
why.
Old Mariners.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
For the kids in the back that are yelling about how we're supposed to be competing this year, no, we're not, because we didn't have a minor league season last year. The rebuild's obviously pushed back a year, when turns out part of a rebuild is getting kids experience and seeing what you got. You can't do that with 60 games in the majors and no minors. So this is, you know, this is going to be a crucial year, though, for this rebuild. We need to see what we have, so we need to know what to fill. One thing I'm really happy about, J.P. Crawford, who – as Scott Service mentioned, there's a critical point in development that happens between 300 and 1,000 at-bats at the major league level. J.P. Crawford just crossed that 1,000 at-bats a couple weeks ago, and he has started raking it since. He really brought up his average, and we already know he's a gold glove defender. And there was a lot of talk about, hey, should the Mariners go out and chase one of these all-star shortstops? I don't know that we should. I think that J.P. Crawford is showing, like, hey, no, I can be your shortstop of the future. Stick with it. Yeah,
stick,
I really like it. Him here. And then the real interesting conversation, the one that I am still, I don't know which way I would want to go. I don't, like, it's a good problem to have, but I don't envy the decisions that Jerry's going to have to make here. What do we do in the outfield? You know, we have a log jam out there right now with Mitch Haniger playing all-star level. Kyle Lewis, former rookie of the year, showing that he can still do it, having a pretty good year after rehabbing a little bit in the early start from injury. Now we have Jared Kelnick, one of the top prospects in the league, who, you know, was early on, and I'm sure that he's going to make the turn and be able to hit the ball better. And he showed that he has good defense too, even though he's made a couple little rookie mistakes. Then you have Taylor Trammell, again, top prospect, raking in the minor leagues, made some adjustments. I think that he's ready to come up and show he can compete. And then not far behind, you have Julio Rodriguez, who is destroying the ball in high A Everett. If you're near Everett, go and watch a game there. They have
that's
a,
in Washington, I mean, State,
Julio,
just
Nova
by the
Verde,
way.
Everett, Washington.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, and let me just throw in, because we do have people from all over the country and all over the world watching, but especially in the U.S., it's those minor leagues. You really get a good game. Josh brings it up all the time.
That's baseball.
Drills it. Yeah, that's baseball. It's,
and you can afford to go.
Affordable for the whole flipping family.
Oh, yeah. We used to go all the time. We'd like go and get Albertson's chicken and go and sit in the outfield there. They have a big grassy area outside of the fence. You can sit and have a picnic and have your whole family there. I mean, it's great. Love it. Love going to minor league games. You know, again, affordable. The concessions don't cost $20 a pop. You know, it's a great time. Go watch it. And especially right now, if you're in Washington, if you're near Everett, go and watch AAA Tacoma. Go and watch high single A Everett, because Julio Rodriguez in Everett is destroying it. He has had a ton of home runs, huge hitting streaks, a crazy batting average. He's not going to be there much longer. Catch him while you can before he goes down to double A Modesto.
Well, yeah, and that's it. You can see some great people in there before they hit the big time, we'll just say. I mean, you can be in Pensacola and watch the Blue Wahoos. I mean, you can be in Midland and watch the Rockhounds. You know, that Josh mentioned the Everett Aqua Sox. There's Springfield Cardinals. I mean, everywhere you go, affordable and fabulous. And, you know, it brings it back home. We need to, you know, that's the thing. Let's bring it back before we move on to another subject, boys. Baseball is good because it brings us back to a slower time. Yeah, it's a little slower. It's not fast paced. You know, you're on the pitch 90 seconds, you know, 245s nonstop. It brings you back there. And I love it. I want to take a second, though, to thank one of our affiliates. They're the folks that make all of your boys' beards look so fabulous.
For a wild scrub brush.
To Gentlemen Refined. Stash Wax from Real Bearded Men at MyMichelleLive.com.
That's right. You can go to MyMichelleLive.com, and you Real Bearded Men can get great discounts and products at Real Bearded Men. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I just want to say if you want to catch some of these minor games you're looking for, if you go to milb.com/tickets, they have a great map that you can look at and that you can search by state and see what teams there are near you. Like if I just go down their state, I look at Washington, they show, they got the Everett Aqua Sox, high affiliate of Seattle Mariners, Spokane Indians, high A for Colorado Rockies, Tacoma Rainiers, AAA for Seattle Mariners, and the Tri-City Dust Devils in Pasco there for Los Angeles Angels.
That's a great name.
That's a great name for Tri-Cities. But they have that. You can look at any state. You can see what teams are there's teams in base in every state. You know, you'll find a couple. So there's almost certainly one, maybe within a little bit of a trip for you, but there's make a day of it, have a good time. Find those and support your minor league teams. MILB.com/tickets.
I like it. Thank you, Josh. I want to move on to football as we get towards the end of our broadcast today. This was a really neat story. Jacksonville Jaguars new acquisition, Trevor Lawrence, is given some praise and some love to Tim Tebow. He says, Tim Tebow's a guy you want to be around. Now, I want to give a little love out to Tim Tebow, because how many people do you know have a brief stint in the NFL, walk off the field, and you know maybe even have come back, but you know they have kind of gone into obscurity. People don't follow. Tim Tebow has been relevant, and he's been relevant for one reason and one reason only, because he's a good guy, he has integrity, and he's a man of faith that has not wavered on that faith. He hasn't insulted others, he hasn't put people down, he hasn't used slurs to say or an air of spiritual superiority. He's just a guy who loves Jesus, lives it out every day, even though he came under fire in the past over it. He's a monster of an athlete, and we're still following him. And now, you know, as he takes on a new role with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he's getting lots of love, guys.
Integrity personified. He's not perfect. He's not perfect, but he's really living out the mission that Jesus has given to all of us. You know, in Matthew, it says to go make disciples of all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, Tim Tebow is a great example of how you want to relate to people and the way that he relates to his teammates. And Trevor Lawrence is also a Christian. So I'm sure that they're going to have some great conversations. And in that article I sent you, Michelle, about Trevor Lawrence's comments, he hadn't met Tim until this year. But he was intrigued by everything he had done and by everything that he had said and everyone that he had affected. So think about that. We all have a sphere of influence. Are we using our sphere of influence to impart the most important and best thing of all, that we're all made in God's image, but we need Jesus? And Tim has done that.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me, though, how much controversy every move such a basically uncontroversial person makes gets talked about, analyzed, criticized. I mean, I guess there's a spiritual aspect to it, but it really is bizarre to me that people can literally spend hours every day talking about Tim Tebow.
I guess it's that white privilege. I don't know how that got into the sphere of things too, but that also ended up to be part of the conversation. As Stephen A. Smith said several weeks ago, that the only reason Tim Tebow was being signed by the Jaguars was because of white privilege, and we talked about that a little bit on the show. He completely ignored the fact that he had a professional relationship with Urban Meyer, his former coach. I will bet you 1,000 followers, Michelle, if Tim Tebow was black, Stephen A. Smith never would have said that.
Well, no, because it wouldn't be white privilege.
My point is, it would be just another brother helping another brother out. That's why we've got to be the people God called us to be, because the people that God called us to be shouldn't see color or any of the other things that divide us.
No, and it doesn't. There's a powerful story here, guys, and that is live out your conviction, live out your faith, but do it in a way that it, when you do it in a way that is biblically based, something happens that's different than what we're seeing in the narrative in the United States. That difference is love, mutual respect. I'm not tearing people down. I'm not normalizing hate or violence or canceling. I'm not canceling anyone. I'm including people. That's what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't cancel you because you think differently. Jesus doesn't cancel you because of your political affiliation. Jesus says, come to me, ye who are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not that so, for God so loved the whites, or God so loved the pretty people, or God so loved this or that. God so loved the world. He loves the world. And in that, we have we're all playing then on the same team, and we can support each other in that. I love that story. I love that. We have lost a couple of our players today. You know, life gets busy. That's okay. But I wanted to get to our final shot because we are about out of time today. And that's just where we give a little shout out or a thought. And final shot. All right, Rich Hallstrom.
Gabby Plain and Heather Tarr and the University of Washington women's softball team are currently playing the number one team, Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's got a great offense. Last week, Oklahoma beat Wichita State 24-7 to make it to the Super Regionals. The Huskies are their opponent this weekend. They're on ESPN2 right now. Go check it out.
All right, Brent Arbaker.
Well, I don't know if you have any Cubs fans out there, but Javier Baez, man, made a place. I mean, made the Pittsburgh Pirates look like little leaguers the other day. If you haven't seen the play, you need to look this up on YouTube or something. So Javier Baez, he's up at bat. He's got a runner on second base. There's two outs in the inning. Hits a grounder to third base. Third baseman throws to first, and the throw's a little off. So Baez is running to first, and the first baseman comes off the bag, gets the ball, and instead of going and tagging the bag, he starts chasing Baez back down the first baseline towards home plate. All he had to do was step on the bag. But in the meantime, the base runner comes all the way around and scores. And Baez ends up getting all the way down to first base. They try to throw him out there, make another error. He ends up at second base. The guy stole a run for his team by getting caught in a pickle between home and first base, which, I mean, I don't think I even saw that in Little League. It's just one of the strangest and most hilarious plays you'll ever see. And I'm sure you'll see it in your local Major League ballpark now forevermore with the clown music playing in the background, because it's pretty hilarious. But Javier Baez, you the man for that one. You can't help but laugh if you know baseball watching that play.
I like it. My final shot goes out to those who have served, and as we go into Memorial Day weekend, I do want to remember that there are people who laid down their lives so that we can go and enjoy a baseball game, so that we can have freedom of speech, so that we can be anything that we want to be if we're willing to put in the time and the effort. I am so grateful for the United States of America, and I think this nation is the best nation that has ever arisen on this planet. And it's because we have been one nation under God. And it is because of the people who have gone before us and have fought the good fight. Thank you very much. Happy Memorial Day weekend. And guys, thank you for spending time with us today. And thank you for listening. Please go to My Michelle Live. You can support us. You can like us. You can share us. You can purchase things like from Real Bearded Men or even Calitrin, which is a freaking fountain of youth in the bottle. Don't send me emails and say, "Well, you look so good, Michelle," without saying realizing you can do this too. Calitrin is awesome, easy to take. You take it at night, sleep on it, and it just builds that collagen from the inside out. So it helps you with cognitive thinking, aches and pains. So for some people, huge weight loss. Do it. There you go. Support our affiliates and keep watching. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, boys.
Thank you, Michelle.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.
That is right. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap.
Awesome.
That's some good stuff.
That's some good stuff right there.